नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 17. The Divisions of Fate. Text number 15. Please repeat. Anutvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam cha yat svatjaya apyasanam cha eva vakmayam tapaha uchyate Anutveka karang vagyang sajang priya itang chayat svatyayapyasanang cheva svatyayapyasanang cheva vang mayang tapa uchate anutveka karang vagyang Sajang priyaitang chayat Svadhyayapyashanang cheva Vanmayang tapa uchyate Anudvega karang vagyang Sajang priyaitang chayat Svadhyayapyashanang cheva, Svadhyayapyashanang cheva, Vanmayang tapa uchyate. Anudvega karam vagyam, Sajang priyaitang chayat, Svadhyayapyashanang cheva, Vanmayang tapa uchyate Anudvega karang vagyam Sajang priyaitang chayat Svajayapyasanang cheva Vanmayang tapa uchyate Anudvega karang vagyam Sajang priyatang chayat Svajayapyashanang cheva Vanmayang tapuchyate Anudvega karang vagyam Sajang priya hitang chayat Svajayapyasanang cheva Vanmayang tapa uchyate Anudvega karang vagyam Sajang priya hitang chayat Svadhyayapyashanang cheva Vanmayang tapa uchyate
Would you like to try?
It's 15, shlok 15.
He likes the Bhagavad Gita, huh? Would you like to try first? Oh, Very good.
It's Anudveka Karam. Anudveka Karam Vakyam. Sajang Priyam Nitang Chayat. Svajaya Vyasanam Cheva. Panmayang Tapuchate. Anudvega karang vakyam sajang priya hitang chayat svajaya pyashanang cheva vanmayang tapa uchate anudvega karam not agitating vakyam words sajam truthful, priya, dear, hitam, beneficial, cha, also, yat, which, svadhyaya, of Vedic study, abhyasanam, practice, cha, also, eva, certainly, vakmayam, of the voice, tapaha, austerity, uchyate, is said to be. Translation. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. Purport. One should not speak in such a way as to agitate the minds of others. Of course, when a teacher speaks, he can speak the truth for the instruction of his students. But such a teacher should not speak to those who are not his students if he will agitate their minds. This is penance as far as talking is concerned. Besides that, one should not talk nonsense. The process of speaking in spiritual circles is to say something upheld by the scriptures. One should at once quote from scriptural authority to back up what he is saying. At the same time, such talk should be very pleasurable to the ear. By such discussions, one may derive the highest benefit and elevate human society. There is a limitless stock of Vedic literature, and one should study this. This is called penance of speech. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Svapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupang Sakrajatam Sakana Raghunatam Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sagana Lalita Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Ghora Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Anutvega Karang Vakyam, Sajjang Priyaitang Chayat, Svajjaya Vyasanam Cheva, Vanmayam Tapa Uchate. So, we're getting here at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, and this chapter is called The Divisions of Fate. And Krishna is explaining here the different of austerities. Yesterday we discussed austerity of the body, and before that we did different sacrifices. And before that, different foods. And before that, we discussed it also yesterday. We did the different modes of worship. And Krishna is a little bit preparing us for this chapter about the different modes of nature, because yesterday we were not completely clear, and when we went back, then it became much more clear. So there are three modes: tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun, mode of ignorance, or like Lokanath Maharaj, he explained, ignoring, like he explained, like you're ignoring Krishna. So this is the mode of ignorance. Like it's called tamas. Tamas means darkness. These modes, the Sanskrit word is guna. Guna means rope. So, for instance, tamagun, it is the mode of darkness, and the person who is in tamagun, he sleeps a lot. And it's like a rope. There's one picture in Bhagavad Gita, it's not here, but you see these three goddesses, and they hold these ropes to this person. And these are these gunas. And so you have mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. So the person in the mode of ignorance, he sleeps a lot. And it's like I don't know if any of you ever driven a car, but sometimes if you're very tired, and you know, it's like you're playing with your life, but you're like a little bit tired, you know? And you almost like sort of doze off. This is like these gunas, they're sort of strangling you, because like I said, you're playing, you know, you're playing with your life. Sometimes you go 100 kilometers an hour and you doze off. I mean, especially in the beginning, when you're not so experienced yet as a driver, you might underestimate it. Of course, you should immediately put your car down and take a little nap. But the point is that even though you don't want to, still you fall asleep. Also, it happens during class. Actually, I heard that, I haven't got it confirmed. I have to, like Maharaj was here, Bhakti Varshaka Madhava Maharaj. Is that his name? Visvambar? Bhakta Visvambar Madhava Maharaj. He was also saying, I'm going to look that up, we're going to do some more research. So somebody told me that there is a curse of, not really a curse, that the story goes that Nidra Devi, she complained to Lord Krishna. Like, she was asking Lord Krishna, or she was complaining, she said that I cannot do my service with your devotees. They never sleep. They always serve you, you know, and I am supposed to put people to sleep, and I cannot do my service with them. So then Krishna, he gave a special concession. This is the story that was told to me by one Prabhupada disciple. I won't mention his name. And Krishna's answer was that I will give you a special concession that whenever my devotees listen to Krishna Katha, you know, this talks about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and all these kind of things, and when they are not attentive, then you can do your service. So it's, in that sense, it's kind of a curse. And another explanation also, of course, the first explanation is tamaguna. Because if you're really fixed, then you cannot fall asleep, no matter what happens. The second explanation is that devotees, they like Krishna. And Krishna is like our father. So as soon as they hear Krishna, they feel very peaceful and safe, and they just fall asleep. Because you can only sleep when you feel safe. Although the car is something that you maybe think that you're safe. I don't know what happens in the brain, because it's, of course, it's completely insane. But that is another explanation that another devotee gave me. Anyway, the point is that it's like gunas, it's like ropes, and they sort of strangle you. Today we speak about the austerity of speech. And one of the things that stuck to my mind is it should be pleasing. Our speech should be pleasing. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful. Vakyam satyam. So we should speak truthful. And anutveka karam should not be agitating. It should be pleasing. Satyam Priyam and Hitam, beneficial. Yeah, and not agitating to others. There it is. Priyam also means dear. It's like irritating, but it's agitated. It's like, yeah, like a snake. You can agitate a snake. It's kind of the same as irritate, but it's like, well, it's a little bit, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult to explain the difference. It's a little bit of a subtle difference, but it's almost the same as irritate, definitely. Yes, yes. You can also be like sexually agitated. This is a common use of this word. You see, so that is because you're not really sexually irritated. That's completely different. So you can be sexually agitated. So like that is used. Right, yeah, in this context, yeah. You can agitate, but then in that sense, it's almost the same as irritate, you see? And also in regularly reciting Vedic literature, so that's what we're doing now, and Prabhupada explains it also in the purport, that basically whenever you speak, or he says, the process of speaking in spiritual circles is to say something upheld by the scriptures. So we should always back up what we say by the scriptures. Like I was giving Bhagavatam class and Prabhupada says, lust leads to, what was it? Kamasatar ritagyana. Lust, it leads to loss of intelligence. Yeah, lust also leads to anger, but that's in the second chapter. But this was specifically to this Agnidra. He was losing his intelligence because he saw this girl, and it was due to lust. Kamas, what is that? Kamas tataya rita gyana. So this is this famous verse about the demigods. Men who are less intelligent, due to lust, they worship the demigods. So, but that demigod part Prabhupada didn't quote, because for that specific point he wanted to make, lust leads to loss of intelligence, he just needed that part, because it's spoken by Lord Krishna, and he is authority, he is God. So like that, he proved his point by Shastra. And I explained in the class, it's also logic. But logic can be fallible, you see. But Krishna cannot be fallible. This is one of his names, Achyuta, infallible. One should not speak in such a way as to agitate the minds of others. Yeah, so I'm really good at agitating others' minds with my speech. It's an unfortunate quality I have. So it should be completely reversed. And the way to do it is by quoting scripture. It's one way to do it. So we should be very mindful. That's why it stuck to my mind, because I'm a little bit struggling with that. So we should never speak in such a way as to agitate the mind of others. This is like a general rule. The Vaishnava is always very cultured and pleasing. We're discussing that also about, you know, your father and how we would speak. You know, I'm at your feet. So this is the way to speak, you see. Of course, when a teacher speaks, he can speak the truth for the instruction of his students. But such a teacher should not speak to those who are not his students if he will agitate their minds. Yeah, so like Mother Rupa Manjari, she was giving the class this morning and she said, I know this might be a little bit agitating, but I feel it's my duty. You see? So then it's allowed, you know? In fact, like she said, it was her duty to speak the truth. So although she did it in a very palatable way, it was a little bit confrontational, But a teacher has to do that sometimes for his students. You see, and since she was chosen to give the class, she was like our teacher and we were the students. Generally, when Prabhupada refers to it in lectures and conversations, he refers to his disciples. He says disciples, they should ask questions, and the spiritual master can only chastise his disciples, not anybody else. And that is, he is explaining that here in a more broader sense. So, a teacher should not speak to those who are not his students if he will agitate their minds. Then he continues, because I cannot help but think of Srila Prabhupada when I read this. This is penance as far as talking is concerned. So probably especially in the beginning, because I listened to a lot of lectures from 1966 when Prabhupada just came into New York. I can really recommend it, because there's a lot of people asking very tough questions, very challenging questions. And it's very interesting how Srila Prabhupada deals with these people, especially because I'm from Amsterdam. So we had all the time these kinds of people and questions. And Prabhupada had these same people. It's really interesting to see how they deal. But he must have been also performing this particular austerity of speech, because he must have many times thought, I shouldn't say that now because they cannot accept it. Later, when they took initiation, then he became more... he revealed more of the truth, became more blunt, became more open about, like in the beginning he didn't even tell them about the four principles. They took initiation and then they asked Prabhupada, so what is this about, this initiation? Prabhupada was something, sort of in this mood, ah, good you asked. You're not allowed to smoke anymore, because that was the main thing. And they were really, took them some time, you know, and I think in the beginning they were still smoking, but Prabhupada knew by following this process it will ultimately stop. Besides the fact that one should not speak to agitate others, one should also not talk nonsense. So it's not that when Prabhupada was in New York, for instance, he was very carefully introducing the philosophy. But he wasn't talking nonsense. He wasn't entertaining his audience. They cannot handle it, so let me just talk nonsense. Let me just crack a few jokes. And he wasn't doing that either. So he was very carefully giving them the philosophy. At the same time, he stuck, as they say in America, he stuck to his guns. He was just repeating Krishna's words. And it was very difficult because he was preaching from Bhagavad Gita. And in those days was the Vietnam War, and all the hippies were against the war. And Prabhupada, here was Prabhupada, he was saying that Arjuna should fight. And he was saying that if you live in a country and they order you to go, then you should go, because this is your duty. He was preaching like that. So it wasn't a very popular kind of thing. But he still did it. But he did it very carefully, especially in the beginning. He wasn't so much stressing that. The process... So here he explains how you can avoid talking nonsense. The process of speaking in spiritual circles is to say something upheld by the scriptures. One should at once quote from scriptural authority to back up what he is saying. So like a lawyer, we should know this book. A really good lawyer, he can go into a courtroom and he doesn't have to look up everything. He can just go and say, yeah, there was in 1974... Sometimes they also have to do their homework, but then they memorize it. And they tell the judge, in 1974 there was this case, and therefore you need to make an exception for us, because this is a similar judgment, similar case, so you should give the same judgment. Generally it's done like that. So we should do the same. We can say this is like Dhruva Maharaj and like that, you know, you shouldn't be so angry, because Prabhupada recommends that we shouldn't be like Dhruva Maharaj. We should not be very angry and ask something material, because Dhruva Maharaj, he felt sorry. He said, I was asking for pebbles, I was asking for glass, and I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have asked for a big kingdom. Maybe I should just quickly repeat the story. The story is that his stepmother usurped the kingdom with her stepson, and Dhruva became very, very angry, and he went to the forest by the advice of his mother, and he did austerities, he met Narada Muni, and he wanted to have a bigger kingdom than his grandfather, Lord Brahma. And ultimately, Lord Krishna gave it to him. But then when he was offered this kingdom, he said, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have asked. I feel embarrassed. You know, I just want to serve you. So Prabhupada mentions there that we shouldn't become like Dhruva Maharaj and ask for something material. But this was due to anger. So it can happen. So then sometimes we can remember this story, and sometimes we can help a devotee like that. You know, you shouldn't be angry, even though it's authorized. That's what Prabhupada says. Prahlad Maharaj is the best example. He's the ultimate example. Like, he had every reason to be angry, but he never became angry. Even when Nrisimhadev came, Hiranyakashipu was killed, and then Prahlad Maharaj still, he asked Nrisimhadev that you please take care of my father. So this is a devotee. I don't want to get too much sidetracked and don't want to take too much of your attention. At the same time, such talk should be very pleasurable to the ear. So even though we quote from Shastra, we have to be careful. It should also be pleasurable to the ear, Prabhupada says here. And that's also what Krishna is saying, you see. It should be priyam, pleasing, priyam. So especially in the past, I don't want to criticize too much, but we had also me, and maybe I still have it, we had this tendency to really preach very heavy from the scripture. That is not really the way to do it. Especially, that Prabhupada just said, when the people are not your disciples, we are living here with our God brothers, we're basically equals. So then we have to be very, very careful how to address anybody, even if it's scripture. And from my own realization, I can share with you that I find that we have a tendency, and I also have it, to speak like we know everything, like we really know it. And I think generally, especially with discussions, we should present it more like a scientist, that I don't really know, but I know this shloka, and like a researcher, you see, and then come to a conclusion based on the Shastra, instead of, you know, defending my point and then the other person is defending his point. I think we should, because actually, like Prita Prabhu used to say, we are like dogs from the street. Not all of us, some are born in the movement, but some of us, I at least for myself, I can admit to that. I used to lay drunk on the street of Amsterdam, sleeping in the middle of the road. So it's like a dog, you see. So and now you learn a few slokas, like I learned a few slokas, and then you think, you know, I think I know everything. So, you know, that we should try to avoid that. And we should always think that, you know, I really don't know, and let us really, like yesterday, you know, something came up and we read Srila Prabhupada's purports, and then gradually, I think all of us, at least for myself, I can say, I understood it much better. You know, we got really deep into it and it became much more clear. So I think like that we can try and discuss it. And here, this is what Prabhupada says, by such discussions, and I think yesterday was a good example, one may derive the highest benefit and elevate human society. There is a limitless stock of Vedic literature, and one should study this. This is called penance of speech. Yes, so that we can also see with Maharaj Bhakti Visvambar. Bhakti Visvambar Madhava Maharaj, he is like so much scriptures, and he's got, you know, he gave us, what was it? The Tulsi Kavacha. He gave us a Tulsi Kavacha. You know what a Kavacha is? It's like a shield. So this Tulsi Kavacha, it's a prayer, and when you say it, you're protected. Like you have Nrisimha Kavacha, and you have this very famous Kavacha, the Narayan Kavacha. And the Narayan Kavacha specifically, it's in the Bhagavatam, and it was given, I think, also by Lord Shiva, if I remember. Yeah, it was given by Lord Shiva. And it also protects you, like in battle. So you say this Narayan Kavacha, and then you become basically, especially in the previous yugas, when everything was much more pure and people knew how to speak it perfectly, you would be protected and would be inconvincible, you would be unconquerable when you spoke this Kavacha. But the point I want to make is that we have a limitless stock of Vedic literature. And Maharaj, when Maharaj was here, you could really feel that. He had so much, like, you would feel behind him was a whole library, and he was just pouring out information to us, you know. So, but at the same time, although it's limitless, Prabhupada says you should know something of everything and everything of something. So that everything of something is this book. We should know everything of Bhagavad Gita. We should know it inside out. That's what I'm saying, this lawyer. This is like really the Bible or the law book. It is the book ABC. And everything is in here. It's called also Gita Upanishad. Upanishads, to say it like simplified, it's the headlines of the Vedas. Like you have a newspaper and it has headlines. So the Upanishads is all the important points of the Vedas. And the Bhagavad Gita, it's like the summary of all the Vedas. So everything, that's why it's a little bit complicated, because all the different yogas are giving everything. It's a summary of the whole Vedic literature. So this is, and it's spoken by Lord Krishna. Now, who can be more authoritative than Lord Krishna? And everybody knows Bhagavad Gita. In India, everybody knows it. But in the whole world, everybody knows Bhagavad Gita. So we should really know these slokas. And we should know, like Bhaktivatsa Govinda, he really knows also the structure. Like, oh, this is the, we're now in this section. And like that, we should know it. Prabhupada's explaining it. Like, basically, there's three sections. First six chapters, second six, and third six, like that. So, yeah, that is, I think we can start with that. Really trying, and we're doing that now, so that's good. Really trying to study Bhagavad Gita. And you can also see, like, for instance, Guru Padma, he's quoting Bhagavad Gita when he gives Bhagavatam class. He's all the time quoting Bhagavad Gita. I think it's a good example. And some of the slokas he wrote down, but many of the slokas he just recites them by heart, and even the translations, he knows them literally. He knows them exactly like a lawyer. So I think it's a good example of how to do that. Of course, the best example is Srila Prabhupada. Because like I said, like I gave that example of Kamara Tatari Vitakya. He quotes exactly what is needed. Not too much and not too little. That is the best. You just need that part which proves your point. Otherwise, people get confused. So austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful. That's another thing I would like to share. Like in the American law, they say the whole truth. Do you promise to speak the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So you have to speak the truth, right? You speak the truth, but then you have to speak the whole truth. So it's not that you speak the truth, but then you leave something behind. You say, I'm not lying, but I just don't mention that. You see? So that is not allowed, you see? You should speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So you shouldn't add something which is not really true, like Prabhupada says here, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. You should not add anything, you know, the whole truth. You should not add anything, and you should not subtract anything. So the whole truth, and you should not attract, not subtract, nothing but the truth. Pleasing, yeah, that is something specifically me, we should really learn. Beneficial, so we should always ask ourselves that the advice we're giving, because speech generally is kind of advice, is it beneficial for this particular person, this situation? It should be beneficial, because sometimes, and therefore, sometimes one thing might not be good for another. Therefore, to speak from Bhagavad Gita, it's all generally it's always good, because it's so basic, it's so universal. And not agitating to others. Yeah, so not only should we think how is it beneficial for this person, but also we should understand what is that manda sumanda himatya, manda bhakya upadruta, and Kali Yuga, kalau dosha nidhi, it's an ocean of faults. People are always disturbed. We are always disturbed. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives this example that when others are happy, I get irritated. Para sukha dukhi. When they are sukh, I get dukh, I get unhappy. And when they are dukh, I'm sukh, para dukha sukhi. When they are suffering, oh, I feel, yes. So, and Prahlad Maharaj is para dukha dukhi. When he sees others suffer, he is suffering. So, no, the devotee, when he sees others suffering, like Lord Jesus, he's also suffering. But the conditioned soul, and we are all conditioned, so we all have that tendency. Like, I don't know if you ever did it, but when I was young, I used to kill insects. You know, this is an example of para dukkha sukhi. You know, you the insect is suffering, and some other you take pleasure out of it. It's of course completely demoniac, but a child, he doesn't really know yet, you know. So, and there's other examples I can give you, like for instance, when I wake up, now it's not so bad anymore, but it used to be really bad. I have like a bit of a morning mood, ochtendhumeur, we say in Holland. And then when others become, they are very happy, they're like, la la, it's very disturbing for me, you know. I'm like, can you just be a little bit quiet and, you know, like that. So that is because we are disturbed by nature, you see. So therefore we have to be very careful when we speak to people, not to agitate them, because they're already basically agitated. Yeah, what they say in America, loves company, misery loves company. Yeah, so when I was in the temple in Amsterdam, my friend used to say, because it was a little bit intense place, Amsterdam, he used to say, they're only happy if you're as mental as they are. It was a really crazy place. But the point is that, yeah, the people have this tendency to drag others down. Another Sanskrit verse is Atmavan Manyate Jagat, means that the way I think, others also think. Like a dog, he thinks everybody is a dog. When I'm sick, we think that everybody knows that we're sick, but you have to tell people. So similarly, when we're suffering, then we feel that others should know that. They should immediately understand it. But you know, we have to tell that to people, that I'm very sick, and maybe, you know, I cannot come to my work or whatever, that they take note of it. And it also has to do with some jealousy. These are all anarthas, things that are not really necessary, that they're blocking us in our spiritual life. And the way to get over it is to direct our mind and attention to Krishna. Because generally, in the beginning, that might also be a little bit enviousness, but generally, you know, Krishna is so perfect and so pleasing that we cannot really find fault with him. So, and then gradually that mood that we have with Krishna, it can water down. It's called Ganishtadhikari. He completely worships the deity, and he loves the deity, he loves Krishna. But he's a little bit neglecting other persons. And then you have Madhyamadhikari. He's like a preacher. So he's worshiping also the deity, but at the same time he knows how to relate to people. With juniors, he's trying to help them. With equals, he's like friends. And with seniors, he's giving them respect. And then you have the, what is it? Madhyam Uttama. Uttamadhikari, and he sees everybody higher, he sees everybody as a devotee, and himself, he feels himself unqualified. But this is the highest level. And that is what basically Prahlad Maharaj is experiencing to some extent, Uttamadhikari. So, but we are generally aspiring for Madhyamadhikari, because we are preachers. And therefore, you know, we have to follow this whole culture, because you have to relate to different persons in a different way. And also, as far as I understand, in the spiritual world, it's also more or less like that. Although everybody there, you could say, is Uttamadhikari. Inside, they feel I'm very unqualified, but they relate to different devotees in different ways. It's a kind of a difficult topic. And if you really want to notice, then you have to read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's these things are more explained in there. And of course, Nectar of Devotion, there is a preliminary study. You can also find it in there. Right. You can find it in there also. But the practical application is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because that is about the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you can see how these things practically... And you could also read a little bit about our acharyas, specifically Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. They're really in that mood. That's more or less it. Any other comments or questions?
Maybe I'll just say something about my experience.
Oh, Krishna.
Is that that project, self-sufficiency project in Peru? It's a beautiful, huh? Yes. Eco? Jew? Eco Truly Village. It's a beautiful project. It looks really very nice. I think, you know, you should have read this verse before you would have spoken. I did it also many times like that. The best example that comes to my mind is Jayananda. Jayananda was Prabhupada's disciple. He joined in New York. He actually gave a big donation for the Nectar of Devotion. And as far as I know, we have his book at BLS. Vyasaki wrote another book about his life and Vishnujan's life, which is another saint, actually, Vishnujan. But specifically, Jayananda is very famous about never criticizing any devotee. And he was always working very hard. What I remember is that what he once did, and I'm not sure if he was the president or not, he probably was, but because then you can say such things. But he said, like, I think that in this temple people are a little bit lazy. He said it like that. But the thing is that he worked so hard, and he said it sort of out of a concern, and it was kind of neutral. He wasn't really looking at people like you were in a meeting. He sort of said it like to one person, and he was concerned for Srila Prabhupada's temple. And when he said it, it sort of really had its effect, and immediately devotees started to wake up. But it was due to his, well, basically lack of false ego, and also his perfect example, because he would always get up the first and go to bed latest, generally. And he would always clean and, you know, cook very nice prasadam for the devotees. And so, yeah, because I've been also very much in this mood, and I'm still in this mood, but what I'm trying is to just lead by example. This is actually how this class got started. Because in the beginning I also felt a little bit disturbed. Oh, there's no Bhagavad Gita class, you know. And then I thought, I'm not going to say anything. And then I came to the arti, because in the beginning I didn't go to the arti, but then I got spaced out. I just, because I thought then I saved time, you know, but I just started more talking. And then I came to the arti, and then one Saturday, like 10 Hindus were here, and they all walked out. And I got second initiation from Jayapataka Maharaj, and one of the duties of a brahmana is that he's preaching, he's sharing the knowledge. So I felt very offensive that I didn't perform my duty. So then I talked to Manohar, I told him the story, and I said, I think I should just, you know, start this class myself. And then for weeks I was just sitting here. Well, I wasn't sitting alone. Pujaris really encouraged me. Although maybe in the beginning class were not so good, and maybe a little bit, you know, like I was a little bit in that mood that you're describing, so I was a little bit intense. But still they encouraged me very much. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is listening, Radha Gopinath, they're listening. Because sometimes we forget that Krishna is also a devotee. Yeah? He likes to listen to the Bhagavad Gita class also. So, yeah. So I'm just giving you also my experience. And yeah, unfortunately it's not yet fully realized, but yeah, that would be my advice. So what you could have done there is just try to get up early and just be like an example, and try to speak from like sometimes I invite people, would you like to come to the Bhagavad Gita class? And sometimes you could even say, I missed you, but it's like a friendship kind of thing, that I missed you in the Mongol Arctic, you weren't there. And sometimes if you're good friends, you can sort of a little bit joke about it. Hey, you weren't there. What happened? But that is only with friends, you know. So, but generally, we shouldn't even do that. We should just do the example, give the example, and work very hard. And then that's what Prabhupada did. I would like to give a few examples, then I'll try to wrap up. He never asked anybody to wear a dhoti. As far as I know, he never asked anybody. They just started to do it. He was standing in line of the shower for many, many months until one of the devotees said, Prabhupada, maybe you want to go first. You have so much translating to do. But he would never ask or say that I should. He was just waiting. We don't know, but he probably for weeks and months he cooked the Sunday feast by himself and probably cleaned everything. He must have even probably cleaned the toilet. I mean, I really don't know, but you know, we never hear Prabhupada say so much about it. He just did the whole show by himself. He never said anything. He never asked somebody nothing. Only until people came forward did he say, "Yeah, if you want, you can do it." So bhakti, devotional, pure devotional, it attracts bhakti. And in Holland we have a saying, eerlijk duurt het langst, honesty takes the longest time. So you really need to be determined. It's one of the qualities for devotee, and patience. And especially now, things have a little bit deteriorated after Srila Prabhupada, you need to be more patient even. And also with yourself. You know? Huh? What do you mean? No, but 6 meetings, you should think 6 years. You know, I was thinking 6 months, but that I threw it out of the window. You should think 6 months, and maybe we should even think 60 years. We should... Well, no, we want to go back one life. So at least ourselves, we should think, I'm just going to be like this all my life, and whatever other people do, you know, I'm just going to try to encourage them, but I'm just going to stick to it. And the thing is, and then I'll try and stop. Trinayana Pisa Nichana. If you want to chant Hare Krishna, if you want to watch television, you can do whatever you want. But if you want to chant Hare Krishna, you have to become humble. You have to be tolerant. So you'll see, if you get agitated like that, you get so disturbed. And then you cannot chant Hare Krishna anymore. Or it will be a little bit more difficult. That's my personal experience. I made so many offenses, and then I was in front of my television. You know? So you have to be very careful with that. So better to be humble for your own sake. And Prabhupada explained it, that if they're not your disciples, you shouldn't even, you know, explain the truth to them. So, yeah. But it's, you know, you can do a little bit. You could have maybe talked to Paramdvaiti Swami, like a humble servant. Well, no, but you could have wrote to him or something like that. But even that, it's better just to lead by example. And, yeah. And also see, because that's ultimately, you know, you also see our own mistakes. That, you know, we might, like I'm also quite good in going to Mongol Arctic, but I have other problems. And we tend to only see the good part of ourselves, and we don't see our own problems. This is a little bit, Jesus says that, huh? You see the splinter in somebody's eye, but you know, you have a big log in your head and you don't see that. So that is the conditioned nature. So yeah, we should really try to. And I'm just talking. I'm just preaching to myself now. That's the nice thing of giving class, that you're basically preaching. My ears are very close to my mouth. I'm hearing it first. Is yeah, we should not too much get worried about others. But this is a conditioning, especially for myself. I tend to criticize. And this is like a disease. Bhaktisiddhanta says there's three fingers pointing at you. You see, these three are pointing at me. So he was saying, and then I'll really try to end, I am honeycombed with mistakes. You know a honeycomb? Like the bees, they work in a hive. You know bees? Yeah, you know bees?
Yes,
and they have all these holes, right, in the beehive. You know, that's where they live. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, Prabhupada's guru, he said, I am riddled with holes everywhere, like mistakes. I have only mistakes. And he's like basically faultless acharya. He never made any mistake. And he's thinking like that. So, you know, how humble we have to be. Like one time somebody said, I said, I'm so puffed up. And then some devotee joked, yeah, but why? Why are you puffed up? You have nothing to be puffed up about. You see? Like Indra, he can be puffed up. He's got so many qualities, but we're like so insignificant. But even if we have qualities, pride comes before the fall. So we should, Krishna doesn't like, his devotee to be puffed up. And immediately he will make some, like Indra, you know, he made some arrangement to curb his pride. I think I should stop there. I should practice some austerity of speech. Would you like to chant some bhajan, please?